Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the preaching ministry of Christchurch. You can learn more about Christchurch by visiting ccnh.org.
Eyes of the blind, there's no one like you. None like you.
Well, if you're visiting today, or if you've missed the last couple of weeks, the read-along that I'm talking about is in the form of a card like this that's in the bulletin this morning. And the idea in this calendar year is that we're going to try as the year goes on, as it unfolds, to encourage one another to spend more time reading the Word and allowing the Word to be a spring for our life step as we desire to embody the truth that we behold in our hearts. If you have a Bible reading plan that you do, something that you read regularly, that's great. This isn't intended to replace that. But if not, these cards are created to try and give you an opportunity to kind of segue with the text a little bit beyond Sunday morning. And the readings are short, just a couple of minutes a day is what we're talking about here, in hopes that it will encourage you to spend the time in the Word. Studying through Ephesians, we come to chapter 3 today. And I want to kind of just review briefly where we've been. We started back in chapter 1 discovering with Paul, or from Paul, that in times past, our God chose us to be His children, adopted us to be His children in relationship with Him. And it wasn't anything in us that caused Him to choose us, but rather it was His love made manifest. He chose us to be His children. And then we got to chapter 2, and Paul went a little further, explaining how that happened. We were dead in sin, and He quickened us to life. And He did that because He loved us. We discovered that in chapter 2. And we were called to remember that. That should be something that inspires our every thought, that we were dead in sin, and He made us alive in Christ by His love. And we come to chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul is getting ready to pray into that situation. And so that's what we have as we step into chapter 3. Let me read the first several verses to you here. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Now, as you look into that text, as you begin in verse 1, you see that it begins, for this reason. That points back to chapter 2. That reason of remembering what God has done. He's taken away what divided, and He's made one body. And that body in Christ is the church. No more Gentiles, no more Jews. In Christ, it's one body. It's the church. It's God's people. And for this reason, Paul says, I'm going to pray into that situation. But you notice at the end of verse 1, an M dash, taking you back to grammar class. An M dash means, hold that thought. Paul's getting ready to pray. For this reason, let's pray. Hold that thought for a moment. And then he goes back and he revisits who he is and why he is the one to bring this message. He starts out saying, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace to me and the mystery that God has made known that I've just told you about back in chapter 2. There's no longer a division, but now we are one in Christ. That's what unites us. And look at verse 4. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight. This is important. Scripture interprets Scripture. You read this, you'll understand more of what I'm talking about. And this is a mystery which was not made known in earlier generations, but it's been revealed now. And the mystery is, and that's important, that's a verb, is the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. The mystery is revealed. When I was a kid growing up, probably still today if I'm honest with you, my favorite cartoon was Scooby-Doo. You know why I like Scooby-Doo? Because at the end of the show, you always found out the monsters weren't real. Every time. Ghosts, goblins, monsters, no matter what they were, scared Scooby and Shaggy and their friends to death. But they persevered through the show, and by the end, they were pulling the masks off of them. And you understood, there really aren't monsters, ghosts, and goblins. They're just dishonest people, and now they're in the jail. Paul reveals the mystery like this. He's pulling a mask off, and he's saying, look what God has accomplished. Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together of the promise in Christ. And that was a huge mystery that Paul pulled the mask off. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Lincoln. It's a great movie. I recommend it. I went and bought the book that the movie Lincoln was birthed out of. Apparently, 4 pages of the book, Team of Rivals, is the movie Lincoln. I wanted to know the backstory, so I got the book. And it's quite a book. It's going to take me a while to read it. But as I am, I'm discovering of that time period in American history, the 1840s, 1850s, and 1860s, I'm discovering that we were the most prejudiced of people. I had no idea. And it wasn't just racial. It wasn't just North versus South, black and white. It was prejudiced against everything. There was prejudice against German immigrants. There was prejudice against Irish Catholics. There was prejudice against Native Americans or the Indians. Certainly prejudice against black and white, between black and white. We were a divided nation. And as these guys are wrestling through in politics, how the nation would go forward, how they would interpret the words of the founding documents, I was stunned to discover. Have you ever read the Dred Scott decision? I mean, I had to read that back in history class, had forgotten all about it. I'm stunned that the Supreme Court would release such a decision, worded as it was. That was just a splash of reality again for me. We were a divided house. And I'm not naive enough to say that it's all a thing of the past. But at that point in history, divided. In the day of Paul, it was as divided. The Gentiles, the Jews, Jewish experience of Roman, the Roman Empire, as divided. And for Paul to come and say, we're now one in Jesus Christ, would have just been earth-shattering. In fact, that's why he's in jail as he writes this. That's why he's incarcerated on house arrest as he writes this. Because he was bold enough to stand up and say, look, God has allowed me to pull the mask off of this thing and reveal what his plan was from the very beginning. There's no more division. In Christ Jesus, we're one. This is a big step that he's revealing to us. Look at verse 7 and forward. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. And although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. Paul was called to be Scooby-Doo. To make plain this mystery, to yank the mask off of it. And he's the perfect guy to bring this message. You're familiar with his story. If not, take time later today and read through Acts chapter 9. He's the guy who was persecuting those Jews who placed their faith in Jesus. He was the guy who was presiding over their being dragged out and arrested and punished for placing their faith in Christ. Then he had his moment of awakening, his encounter with Christ, and his whole life changed. The chief persecutor of God followers, Christ followers, became the chief mouthpiece to the Gentiles. This gospel is for you. And so for Paul to be the one unveiling this, unmasking this in his letter to the Ephesians, boy, what a beautiful picture that is. Later today, we're all going to have satisfaction in watching the New England Patriots make their way to another Super Bowl. To do it, they're going to have to beat up on a friend of ours, a brother in Christ, Ray Lewis. Now, when I speak of Ray Lewis, those of you who know football are thinking one of three things. Soon to be Hall of Fame linebacker? Probably. Possibly got away with murder? Maybe. Brother in Christ Jesus? Without a doubt. Did any of you see the game last Sunday where Ray Lewis and the Ravens went to overtime with the Broncos? And Ray Lewis came out for the overtime coin toss, and the entire time that the camera and the microphone were on him, he was reciting scripture. I mean, it's like 2 minutes. The referees are doing a coin toss, and he's reciting scripture the whole time. I thought, what a mouthpiece God has given this man. Question, an aside. How come when Tim Tebow does that, the world mocks him? And when Ray Lewis does that, nobody says a word? Maybe because they think Ray'll... I won't go there. Jason understands. Perfect mouthpiece. Perfect stage. To talk about the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. Look what God has done. Look what God has taken me from death to life because of his love. What a platform. And I pray that he uses that platform right up to the game and then right on into retirement afterwards. Paul's that guy. The perfect spokesman. The perfect one to come and pull this mask. Say, look what God has done in my own life. Look what God is doing. This is his plan from the beginning. His intent, verse 10, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Do you see what he said right there? He was called to be Scooby-Doo, and now he is saying that you are called to be Scooby-Doo. Look at the person next to you and go, ruh-roh. Our calling is to unveil this mystery to a watching world. We are one if we're in Christ. I don't care what label you wear. When you've come to understand yourself as having been moved from death to life because of the love of God, we are brothers, we are sisters in Christ Jesus. What a mystery. And we're called to unveil that to the needy world. That's a beautiful picture. This manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Even the angels didn't understand this. The saints of old didn't get to see this. And it's our charge as the church, this new one body in Christ, to reveal this to their watching eyes. Verse 11, according to his eternal purposes, which he accomplished, past tense, in Christ Jesus. Then you get to verse 14, and he finally picks up his prayer. Remember back in verse 1, he was going to start to pray? In verse 1, it's for this reason. I, Paul, oh, wait a minute, hold that thought. In verse 14, he picks it right back up. For this reason. Everything that happens between 2 and 13 is that parenthetical thought. In verse 14, let's get to praying. And look how he prays. These are the verses that we read together. He prays that that we might be strengthened with the power of the Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. What would it look like if in ever-increasing measure, Christ dwelled in your heart? What would that look like? Praying that we might grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. We sang those lyrics. What would it look like if we came to grips with that? How amazingly, beyond our comprehension, his love expands. What would it look like if we took that in ever-increasing measure into the week before us? That we would grasp the love that surpasses knowledge, to be filled to the measure of all faithfulness in God. Boy, what would that look like? How would it change your step? How would it change your interactions with others? How would it change the way you view your role in this world? Your role on this stage, in this scene, this now through the church, this manifold wisdom being made known. How would it affect you? And then it ends with that beautiful benediction. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What would our lives look like if we walked in step with that Jesus? So again, the review, chapter 1. As we looked at chapter 1, we discovered that he chose us. He chose you. Eternity past chose you for this moment, this scene, on this stage, to be his child in relationship with him. In chapter 2, we saw how that was accomplished. He took you from death, placed you in life because of his love, his mercy. And to remember that as you walk forward, embodying your role, revealing the mystery. Look what God has done. Let's pray together. So, Father, to that end, might we order our steps. Pray again, Father, for the constant reminders your having chosen us, moved us from death to life, that we might be a part of that one body in a way that reveals you. Give us opportunities this week, Father, to reflect in your word and to communicate that with others, to be more than a mouthpiece, to play the role that you have called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is our God, yeah. Into the darkness you shine.